Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
Better for Jesus. Do it better for Jesus. You can do it better for Jesus. You can do it better for Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor's face and tell your neighbor, I'm very, very happy that I'm sitting by you today. Amen. Look at him, shake the hand, wave, squeeze the hand a little and tell him, I am the solution of the problem you have. I carry the solution. Amen. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. All right. Let me appreciate Auntie Vera for coming. And then Auntie Vera came because Auntie Araba. I was trying to remember your name. You know, Auntie Araba brought her, she came from Ghana, from Holy Ghost Center, Assemblies of God. I know the pastor who retired was my senior pastor, and the current pastor there, Reverend Bodu, is my friend. And I've spoken quite a bit, quite some time at their church, sometimes when they had Holy Ghost services. I remember one or two times I was there. So, Mama, you are welcome. Thank you for, and Auntie Araba, thank you for making the time to come and worship with us. I trust that your life will never be the same. Amen. All right. This morning, I was thinking about how to begin, because it's a very serious, serious message today, because we need all of you on board. So, what I want to begin, first of all, by letting us appreciate. I want to ask all the board members, the leaders of the various groups, okay, please stand. Okay, whatever you are saying, please stand. Board members, the departmental leaders, all of you, wherever you are seated, just stand. Men, women. Are they all the leaders we have? What about those of you are sitting? I need the leaders. Yeah, the leaders, the various, because I would have been sad. Okay, so those of us who are sitting, let's clap for them. Let's appreciate them. Appreciate them for me, because see, without them, the work couldn't go on. Okay. And then the leaders, turn your face wherever you are, and then look at all those who are sitting down. And then let's appreciate them for making up their mind that they are going to join us to do the work of the ministry. Put your hands together and appreciate them. Amen. I like the way some of you are doing. You are shaking your hands and welcoming them. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Bless you for today. Speak to us, oh God. Let your word come to us as you have ordained it. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Today is my father's birthday. He turned 76. And I'm very grateful and thankful to God. I know sometimes they watch, so happy birthday to you. You know, that, yeah. I look a little bit like my father, but I think I look, I have to ask my wife. Yeah, so happy birthday. He called and said, no, Sunday is my birthday, so I have to go to church and thank God. I said, yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm glad if you have a father who celebrates a birthday and goes to church to thank God. So all the blessings will come upon you. So happy birthday to you. We appreciate you. We appreciate all that you did and all that you've been doing for us. We are on a journey. Okay, the journey of trying to understand one thing. Okay, God has brought us here as a church and he's given us a mission, and our mission is to raise, you know, living disciples. Because that is the command that Jesus gave to his disciples. He told them, go into the world and make disciples. So we are here to make living disciples by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are Pentecostals. And for us as Living Word, we have captioned it so simple and said, we want to make living disciples who also make living disciples, for them to look like Christ. At the end of the day, all of us will have to look like Christ. What we are saying is that in this world, none of us can do it alone. We need a team. We need each other to make it to where God wants us to become. So we, on this journey, we've been looking at the fact that, you see, we are better together. So we are better when we worship God together. We are also better when we are growing together, because we help each other grow. Sometimes if even somebody annoys you, you don't look at the annoyance, but you look at what you are made up of based on what you do. Because somebody annoys you and you also annoy him, then both of you are not growing. You see, but when somebody annoys you and you know that, yeah, lead me not into temptation. So you use your spirit to respond. The person will be like, wow, what kind of person is this? Then you tell him you're a child of God. Amen. All right, so all through this 40 days journey, we are looking at how do we manifest it. If we say we love, how do we do it? Okay, how do we show our love to God? How do we show our love to one another? How do we show our love to the church? And how do we show our love to our community? And that's all. This is the journey of life. 40 days of community is the journey of loving God. But the important thing is, it's not just us loving in us in isolation, but it's in doing it together. Okay, so last week we looked at how to grow together. Now, today we are going to look at how we can serve together. You know, Living Word, our vision is to love. Three powerful words: love, live, and reach. Now, listen to it very carefully. So whenever you go and people ask you, why are you in Living Word? Don't tell them because the pastor preaches nice. Okay, even though sometimes I preach nice. Like, you know, sometimes it's not even nice, but I try to make you happy. Okay, because I make sure that I'm making you laugh, but I make you understand the truth. You get the point? Because when I stand before God, God will ask me whether I told you the right things. And the right things is what the scripture has said, especially Sunday school. We learned that we are living in the last days. And in these last days, the Lord is coming. But when the Lord comes and you appear before him, what will you give to him? I believe strongly that God is not necessarily going to ask us how many people we brought into the kingdom. But by all means, he's going to ask you what you did with what he gave you. What did you do with the gift he gave you? What did you do with the nice face he gave you? What did you do with the talent that God gave you? Okay, but you see, the interesting thing is, you cannot serve in isolation. So we serve better together. That is why, as a pastor, I cannot do it alone. I mean, I can come here and then stand and then be preaching. But so many things have gone on. The praise and worship guys, the instrumentalists, the choristers have to meet and rehearse. You know, Billy and his team, everybody, the sound guys, even those who are. If we assume I'm here preaching and there's nobody there turning the slides, it will be an issue. But let's look at it let's look at it this way. Let's look at the way we are, or you are playing the part and I am playing my part, okay? The way we are doing church right now, like most of us, we come only on Sunday. We see you only on Sunday mornings, okay? And from Monday to the next Sunday when you come, whatever is happening between those days determines how the church will grow. You know, churches do not grow on Sundays. Churches grow based on what the churches do when they are really doing church. Because sometimes we think doing church is Sunday morning. But in actual fact, biblically, doing church is you living out, loving God out there, obeying God out there, and using your gift and talent to serve the world out there. Now, in the book of Acts, the Bible says, and God added to the church daily. It wasn't once a while. You know, the way we are doing church now, God will add once a while. Now, sometimes we shouldn't be surprised why we are not growing the way we are supposed to grow. Because the way we are living it and doing it, that's the way we are growing. So what we are seeing is as a result of what we are doing. So if we don't like what we are seeing, then we have to change what we are doing so that we can get the right things. So when we release, when we release ourselves to go out there, and you go out there, and you are loving on people. Last week, I told those of you who came for Bible studies, I told you, I said, this week, surprise your supervisors. Just get a thank you card, put a Tim Hortons 10-50. The supervisor who's been troubling you at work. Okay, just give him like lunchtime. Just say, oh, soup, I love you. Look, I've been praying for you. This is a token. When he goes into his, opens it up, looks like, he'll be surprised. I'm sure some of them will wonder, what has he done? Why are you doing that? When the person comes back to you and says, why are you doing it? Then gather the courage and tell him, because you love Christ. Yeah. Yeah. I like the Amio because I miss it. Why? Wait, you were not around last week. I didn't hear Amio. Amen. All right. So we fellowship better together. We worship better together. We grow better together. And then we reach out better together. And today we are looking at, we serve better together. We'll look at the scripture in Genesis. But let's begin. Why do we do that? Now listen, sometimes I think most of us, we think that serving God is going to the Bible school and then coming and standing and doing what I'm doing, like preaching. But that's not the only thing. So listen to it very carefully. Anytime you use your talent, anytime you use your gift, anytime you use your time, anytime you assess your energy, anytime you use your resources, anytime you use your experience, anytime you use your background, anytime you use whatever God has given to you to do something, to be a blessing to somebody, especially when you unfold your belief in Christ to the world, you are serving. Now, all of us are in ministry, and that's what we have to understand. Ministry is not just a pastor who comes to preach. Ministry is serving in the world, knowing that God has given you an assignment. Our assignment here on this earth, here in Canada, is the fact is simple. God has saved you so that through you, he will save the others around you. God has saved you so that through you, he will reveal him through you to all the people around you. Now, I promise you, there are some people, they will never know Christ. In fact, they will never, especially in the environment we are, they will never run into somebody who knows God like you do. So you cannot afford not to stay true to God. Wherever you are, there are some people, I, as a pastor, I will never walk across their path, never. Because I don't meet them, but by virtue of where you work, you can come into contact with them. And so if you fail God, God will hold you accountable. That's why the Bible says all of us will stand before God. So me, what I'm doing is telling you the truth. The truth is that God will hold you accountable. If you don't use the gift, and he will ask me, should I hold you accountable for them not doing it? I'll say, God, I told them. Okay, so I don't only have to tell you, I also have to equip you, I also have to train you, I also have to guide you like Jesus did. Are you getting my point? So that is what we are going to do. And that's why Wednesday we started teaching on the spiritual gifts. So we have started teaching. If you want to understand what the spiritual gifts are, how you can operate in them, come next week. The next 3 Wednesdays, we are looking at the spiritual gift and how we can access it to help grow and build a church. So what is it? Remember that. It's very important. Every person is a minister. So we are all serving. Now listen, the key thing is God does not want me, neither does he want you to serve alone. Because when you are alone, it's very difficult. So why are we? Look at the scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, agree with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and one purpose. Okay, so agree with each other. It's not easy to agree with each other. And so this journey, we are learning how to live along well with one another. And I don't want you to get it wrong. Because most of us, the reason we get things wrong is because we want people, we have in our mind a certain way that people should behave. So when they are not behaving that way, then we think they are wrong and we don't tend to understand them. So we take ourselves, our eyes from ourselves and we place it on them and we blame them. But we don't focus it on ourselves and say, okay, even though what the person is doing is not right, how should I respond? Do I have to respond or do I have to react? You see, but you either respond or react based on what you are made up of. So if you are made up of what God is made up of, God is love. God is love. So if you are made up with out with love and filled with love, no matter how the person behaves, you will exhibit love towards the person. And that is what makes the person realize that, no, you are of a different breed. No, the Spirit of God is in you. That's the difference. And I want us to understand. And, you know, some of those things we can do it, not by ourselves, but we can do it better together. So why should we, before we get to why should we serve together? Why should we do it? Now, if you haven't gotten a copy of the bulletin, I think I have one here, so that sometimes we all stay close. So get a copy of this. Okay, get a copy of this. Let's turn over to it. Let's look at it very carefully. Number one, you know, this is what we see scripturally. We are to serve together simply because, number one, we are a family. No, we are a family. Now, this, the spiritual family, is the only family, listen carefully, the spiritual family is the only family that will last forever. Look at your neighbor who is sitting behind you or sitting by you and say, look, this is not the only place that we will meet. Now I know, this is not the only place. So I better like you more than I'm doing now. Because I'm going to meet you forever and ever and ever and ever in eternity. You know, sometimes some of us, there are some people we think, oh, for this person I don't like. Okay, learn how to like him. Because as long as he has accepted Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, you have to like him. Because we are going to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I pray that it shall not be hell. Because either way, it will be forever. But make sure that it is forever in heaven. Look at your neighbor's face and say, look, the way your face looks, I know you have gone to heaven already. Amen. Amen. No. Now, you know, God says, Jesus compares, anytime Jesus compares the church, he compares the church to the body. The body. He compares the church to the family. He compares the church to the building. So what he's trying to say is that, look, we are better together. None of us is better than all of us put together. We are better together. And we are not, I'm not saying we all have to be the same. We can all never be the same. You know, we have to be different to make it very nice. Can you imagine if all of us, Corinthians says it, can you imagine if everybody in the world was black? Oh, no, it's not that black is not good. Okay, some of you are saying, Pastor, because you are black, okay. Can you imagine if everybody in this world was white? Now, even white, when we say white, what do we mean? Is it the color white or the brown? Okay, so let's say everybody in the world is brown. And everywhere you go, you see brown. Everywhere. You know, I'm sure we'll be bored. Okay, let's imagine that all of us seated here, assuming all of us were just ears. All of us were ears. Sitting down. Ears. All of us were ears. It didn't be appropriate. So he said, so remember, let's learn. We better serve together. We are a family. That's why we need each other. I can speak. You have a gift of generosity. You bring it aboard. And then together, we move ahead. Now, next week, we are setting up a ministry fair. And want to encourage everybody to find a ministry in the church and serve. We are not saying when you sign up, you are signing up for the rest of your life. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that the work of God must go on. And we need all hands on deck. Now, statistics reveals, studies shows that when any church you go to, most of the churches, average churches you go to, that are stagnant, that are not growing, that are the maintenance mode, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Almost any church. It's not just about church. Sometimes this principle applies at other places. When you are organizing a buffet party, and 100 people come, and you leave it, 20 people can eat the food of the 80%. You know, like when we say buffet, sometimes we ourselves, we go for buffet. And then see the way we dish out the food. If you're not very careful, somebody else will not really get some. But that's not the only thing. And then look at the church as well. 20% of the people, financially, 20% of the people in the church can bear 80% of the cost of the church. Because if all of us, it's only about 20% who pay, like they are tithe faithful, even with the tithe challenge. And you know what, let me just pause here and I appreciate you. Because I'm looking at the trend, like the offerings that we have. Most of the time, at the end of every week, we get between 7,500 to about 9,000, or about 8,500 or 9,000. But these days, every month, we get almost about 10,000, 10,200, 10,500. And so at least the tithe challenge is helping us. But you know what? If all of us were faithful to God and paying our tithe faithfully, seriously, we wouldn't have any fundraising in this church. Yeah. So I want to encourage you. You are doing very well. And we appreciate it. Seriously. Seriously. I really appreciate you. Sometimes it amazes me how God is taking us through. We didn't have a children's pastor. We didn't have a youth pastor. But now we have children pastor part-time, youth pastor part-time. And then we bought the land. Okay. That shot our, whatever, how do you call it, mortgage. We're paying mortgage of about 3,000. Now it shot to almost about 11,000 mortgage. And never has any month happened and we have said we didn't have money. God has been good. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God bless you. No, just bless him. Bless the guy and say, God bless you. Because see, and we are able to do all these things because of you. No, because of your generosity, because of your giving. And that is why we always pray and pray and pray that God will keep you, God will strengthen you, God will continue to provide for you. So thank you very much for what you are doing. And one day, when you appear in heaven, God will hold your hands and thank you. And there ought to be souls in heaven who will say thank you very much for coming. We appreciate you. Can I hear amen? Now, the reason you are doing this is that you know that we are family. Amen. And families stand together. It's not only in times of in good times, but sometimes bad times. And I've seen it. Like when our daddy passed away, I mean, even yesterday night, it was awesome. Like the way you came, and I'm sure at the home, where that's the way it is. Mourn with those who are mourning. You know, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And very soon we'll have another wedding here. And I'm believing God that next year we'll have mega weddings. Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, after next year, the weddings will be more, you know. But this year, we'll conclude with some historic weddings.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Well, do some of you know what I'm talking about? Some people have started pinching some people already. It shouldn't happen. Okay, so number one, we are family. The Bible says we work together as partners who belong to God. So note it that way. We work together as partners who belong to God. Don't work as if you belong to the church. You don't just belong to the church. You belong to God. You see, so let's see ourselves that way. That's how we work together. Okay, so if we belong to God and we are focused on what God has asked us to do, then let's all play our part. Now, let me pause here and then also say, there is no such a thing as an unneeded part. Every part is needed. And I like, I don't know, sometimes when I'm reading that and I want to explain, sometimes I become, if I'm not very careful, I will joke there and then you think. You know, the Bible says the parts of the body sometimes we don't even regard or we look down on, they are the ones that we pay more attention and we treat them with care. Okay, all of us who are seated here, we are bodies, so we know bodies. I don't want to go into details. Are you getting my point? Yeah, but if you like, you sleep and when you wake up, then don't brush your teeth for 2 days and go to work. Amen. You get my point. Or even you just dress like, wear dress for 1 week and not wash it. Somebody said, oh, we are in Canada, the winter will nullify it. Even in winter, you will still feel it. Are you getting my point? Okay, so we are family. So just have that understanding. Number two, we need each other. You know, let's get that fact that we need each other. I want you to know that I need you and you need me. We need each other. Don't let us do things and pretend as if we don't need each other. I know there are individuals in this world who think that well, for them they can make it on their own. No, you cannot. So let's have it at the back of our mind. Why? We are looking at how we can help each other serve, how we can serve better together. It's very important how we can serve better together. Look at the scripture. Each of us finds our meaning and function. And I like it. We find our meaning and function, look at it, as a part of Christ's body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? Now, I like it. This is the Message version. When you cut yourself off, when you decide that, oh, for me, I'll just come to church, I'll just show up on Sunday morning, and then I'll just go and nothing, I won't do anything. It will affect us, but it won't help you. Now, I know that sometimes some people say, okay, the reason I don't want to do that is because I don't want to be hurt. I don't want anybody to hurt me. Now, it's good. That part is good. If you don't get involved, you don't get a close friend, nobody will hurt you. But you have to also remember that if you don't get involved with people, nobody also will help you. Let me pause. The same thing. Yeah, you can decide not to get involved simply because you don't want anybody to hurt you. And good, nobody will hurt you. But in that same vein, nobody too will help you when you need the help. Because there are some people, they will mention, some things will happen to them, they will mention their name, and people will struggle to find out. But there are some people too, just by the way they dance at church, when I want to find out, when something happens, say, oh, you know this woman, the lady, you know the one who dances this way, and everyone, oh yeah, I know her. No, you too, you have to do something to be known. So when I come to church, I stand here sometimes, I scan through. I know some of you are noted by the seat you sit on. Yeah, so some people, I called them, I said, no, I didn't see you at church. I said, oh yeah, pastor, I was there. I said, did you sit at where you have been sitting? He said, no, I changed it. I said, don't change it. If you change it, you confuse me. Amen. So I like it. Some of your hairstyles, you know, the color of the hair, like the yellow, like this one. Some of them, I just see it. Amen. Amen. Now look at it. Each of us finds our meaning and function. Now let's look at what Paul is saying. Now, if you want to understand why you are here on this earth, if you want to understand the meaning of your life, you have to get involved. You have to do something in the church. And see, some of us, we have limited the work in the church to just the parts in the church, like being part of the choir, or playing an instrument, or being an usher, or being a leader. So if you are not involved in those things, then sometimes you are also tempted to think you are not serving. But that is not absolutely right as well. I see from your faces that all of you want to jump and serve. Because we can't do without you. Look at number three. The reason we need ourselves to do it, reason number one, is not just only because we are family, and so God commands it, it's God's will, and it's not because we need each other, but again, because we get more done. You see, we get more done. We get more done, and we get it done faster, and we get it done quicker. You see, we get it done. Like this, at the end of the year, today I said it on the radio, because they were asking me, they pushed me every year. Last year, this year we didn't give out the turkeys, so they were holding me at the radio station. But for the gifts for the widows and orphans and international students and so on, we did 150. I told the team, I said, this year we have to raise 151 gifts and give it to orphans, widows in our community in Canada. Sometimes people think, oh, in Canada, we don't have those kind of problems. They are here, active and alive. And that's what we want to do. And I'm praying and looking forward to a time where we will grow. And at the end, every end of every year, we will give over thousands and thousands of things to help the poor, help the widow, help the singles, help international students, single mothers. Let me say single parents, because now we have single fathers too. So single parents. No, it's serious. And so we can support them. So at the end, at a point, we will encourage all of you to give to support, and we'll do it. Look at the scripture. Two are better than one. Anamiwa. Because together they can work more effectively. Now, please listen. The Bible says God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Most of the time, when we read that scripture, what comes into our mind? Oh, help me, help me, help me. What comes into our mind? What comes into our mind? Yeah. Which, in the primary sense, is true. But you see, there are so many marriages. You can be in a marriage. If you are not practicing the principle, you can be in the marriage and be alone. Because it's a matter of the heart. And that is why the church, the spiritual body, is there. So, God says, it's not good for us to be alone, which means get yourself involved. You cannot do it alone. Get somebody, whether you're married or not, get a friend. When you come to church, be part of the living cell. Get a small group. Join a small group. Join a department. Join a ministry. Be part of the men. Be part of the women. Be part of the children. Do something. Get yourself involved. Get a friend. It's said that when people come into church, one of the key reasons that makes them stay is when they come in, and within the first 2-3 weeks, they make a friend. And I'm sure if I go around and I ask all of you, why are you here? At least I'm sure about 80%, it will be because of either a friend brought you or either whatever. By all means, it will be relationship related. By all means. Very significant. Can I hear amen? So let's make sure that as a church family, we will not allow any person who comes here as part of Living Word to say that I am lonely. So how can that happen? The pastor alone cannot do it. The team alone cannot do it. But together, we can do it. If we are all serving, if we don't see somebody at church, and about 10 different people call the person and overwhelm me with calls, the person will say, wow, what is happening? Can I hear amen? We have to coordinate that. Are you getting the point? The Bible says the one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose. Do you get it? Okay, so we are talking about serving together. What does it take? What does it take for us to serve together? What will it take for us to be very effective in serving together? We love, we live, we reach out. What will it take for us to serve together? Number one, the first thing is trust. You know, we have to learn to trust each other. We have to learn to believe in each other. I know some of us, we need a work to do, okay, in helping us believe in each other. Because sometimes, especially those of us who have been around each other for a long time, sometimes we know each other so much, we know the weaknesses and failures of each other so much, that sometimes we don't even want to trust them. No, but sometimes we don't play it well. We play it more spiritual. But let's calm down. That is why we are a family. No, in families, the families of 4, 5, we will know ourselves so much. We know the weaknesses of our sisters, our brothers, and yet we cope with them. We learn to live with them. And some of you are here, you have some sisters. Look, you have sent them brothers in Ghana. They are good. You send them money every time. You send them money for business. And you know that after this, my brother, no matter the amount of money I send, the business will not be built. But you always keep serving and encouraging. But there are others too, you know, that, okay, after this one, even if I don't give him, oh, he will do it. Oh, for this one. So you know yourself, but you don't cut them off and say, I won't have you as my brother again. No, he's still your brother. And that's the same mindset we have to bring into the church. We are not the same. Okay, but we have to learn to trust each other, because without trust, we can't go far. Okay, look at the scripture there. So I won't talk too much. Timothy, it says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Is that a scripture? Yeah. Guard it. It says, Timothy, guard what it has been entrusted into your care. And it says, in the second scripture, Proverbs 26, says, Many people claim to be loyal, but it is hard to find a trustworthy person. Many people claim to be loyal, but it is hard to find a trustworthy person. That is why trustworthy people should be in the church, because of our faith in Christ. Because look, people are going through challenges and people just need other shoulders to lean on. No, the things people are going through, they just need somebody to just confide in and talk and just talk to, so that they will just be free. But if they can't get it outside, that's why in places like Canada and the rest, they have made all those things professional. They've professionalized it because the church is not leaving it out appropriately. So they will professionalize it and charge people to go and do it. So you go for counseling and you pay. And what do you go and do to the counselor? He sits down, asks you questions, you talk, he listens and writes it. That's it. So you leave, relieve. This the church can easily do if we set our things right. All that people need is for a listening ear. But you see, the person is afraid. So what are some of the things that we need to do? Number one, what are some of the things that we can do to help us build trust? The first thing is by being consistent. Okay? It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. You know, if we can trust each other with something little, we can trust each other with much. So, but let us be consistent in our conduct, in our lives, in our behavior. Okay, let us be there for one another. Look at the next one. And I like that one because I want to touch on those ones. Number two, being confidential. Okay, this is trust, how we can build trust among ourselves. Remember, we are better serving together. What we are saying, what are some of the things that we can do? The first thing is trust. Make sure that we have trust. How do we do it? By being consistent with one another. Let us be predictable. Let each other know the word for this person. As I tell him this, I know that I'm safe. And then let's also be confidential. Look at the scripture there. It says, a gossip. Let's all read this one. I like this one. Let's read. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Now, pick up the word gossip. You know, gossip is gossip. When you are talking about something to somebody that you and I are not part of the problem nor part of the solution, then you are gossiping.
Say that again.
Okay, I repeat. This is popular request. Request from the floor. I repeat. You know, a gossip is when you are explaining or demonstrating something to somebody that you are neither part of the problem nor of the solution. Then you are gossiping. One of the things that destroys friendship, destroys kingdom, destroys church, is not necessarily like adultery or fornication or drunkenness. All those things are part. But gossip can destroy people, especially in this part of the world where we have technology has made it easy for us to gossip. Like email, WhatsApp, smart, and then we are not with the phones. Smart thing that somebody can video you and then share it. Before we realize, somebody's technology is drawing our attention to the fact that we shouldn't gossip. Okay, so this is it. We have to be aware. Because it's very important. Now listen, let me put a statement across. I know there are some people who gossip about people to you. Can I tell you something? Let me see what I wrote. Whether I wrote the thing here and I remember. If they gossip to you, they will gossip about you. Listen, I'm not prophesying because I've been taking my spectacle off. I'm just telling you. Now, listen. If they gossip to you, whoever gossips to you, he will gossip about you. Mark me. You mark it. If you like, take it. Okay, let me turn it around because some of you are not seeing the picture. If you gossip to somebody, you, the same person, constant. I did a little bit of mathematics. A plus B is equal to C. Okay. So you will gossip about the person to another person. No. So. Okay. The Bible says, a gossip betrays a confidence. Don't let us. This is how we build trust. Let's build confidentiality. Let's stop gossiping. Okay, when somebody calls you and wants to gossip about a member of Living Word or even pastor or whatever, just tell the person, thank you very much, but please God bless you, I'm not in it. Amen? Yeah. Because we need, people are suffering, people are struggling, people have a lot of baggage, a lot of problems. We don't have to add to it. They should come here and have relief. They should come here and feel that they can trust us. They should come here and feel that here they can feel at home. Let them come here and feel the Lord. Here they can get real friends who will really believe in them, who they can confide in, who can pray with them, who will not just pretend that they are praying for them when they are gossiping with prayer topics. Don't worry, that's okay. Am I still your pastor?
Yes.
Okay, I think I have to say, because if it's the word of God,
yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor's face and tell me we are family. I love you the way you are. So trust me small. Okay. Okay. But maybe some of us will need to apologize first before we ask for trusting small. Okay, let's get it. The next one is that the third thing, under the same thing like how to build trust, is being close. Okay, being close. You know, if sometimes when we close, I try to stand at the other end just to shake hands, get to know people, find out how they are doing. Sometimes there's jam on there. But sometimes some people will be talking to you and you want to just move away. But it's very important for you to slow down and walk among the crowd. And then just shake hands and listen to the people. Because see, we come here and the only time we have is just here. Amen? So we have to learn to stay close. Now, listen carefully. Let me use this illustration. If you fly in a Concorde, which I know, how many of you have flown in a Concorde? The fastest. Are they still flying those ones? It was grounded because of whatever it is. But, okay, let's say a space craft. Okay, space craft. Now, any of you have the chance to go to Disney World? Try that one, because we tried it. Where did we go to Earth and Mars? We went to Mars, and then went to where Earth? Earth and Mars. Okay, so the Earth is a bit, but the Mars, these simulators are very dangerous. Like you sit in and you start calling on the name of the Lord. It's not by might nor by power. But as you move higher and you look down, you realize that the Earth becomes like very small, so you don't see it well. I'm talking about let's learn to stay close. Okay. So assuming you decide to drive, when you are driving to a place, there's a limitation to what you can see. When you are flying to a place, there's a limitation to what you can see. When you are also walking to a place, there's also a limitation to what you can see. So if you want to see something closer and well, you have to get close. So if we want to learn and help and trust each other, we have to learn to get close to each other. And how do we do it? We can do that in small groups. When we come to a church like a group like this, it's very difficult for us to get close. At Sunday morning, you know what we do? We fake everything. Hello, how are you? High five. High five. It's all fake. No, it's not real. Oh, you don't get me. Yeah, it's not because people. No, who should open up for somebody to say that? Oh, this person is that the way he is? Meanwhile, that is the way we are. Because some of us leave Sunday. That's why when you come to church every Sunday morning, please let somebody smile, put a smile on somebody's face, because you never know what a person is going through. Amen. Get close. Let's learn to get close. Yes, sometimes the reason we don't want to get close is because we don't want anybody to hurt us. Yeah, nobody will hurt you. But nobody too will help you. Amen. The help is more than the hurt. Even the hurt will help you, will help you. Amen. Are you enjoying it? Are you sure? So trust. Okay, number two. Empathy. So feel it in, and then we'll close for you, okay? Empathy. You have to empathize with one another. So being close. The Bible says, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. First Peter says, be sympathetic. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. How do we live in harmony with one another? It doesn't mean we should all think the same. We should all behave the same. But what it means is that we should learn to agree with one another. No, we should learn to put ourselves in the shoes of the other person. Don't only think about yourself. You know, if I always think just only about myself, I'm sure there's so many things I wouldn't do because I am not like you. Okay, neither are you also like me. But we have to learn to empathize. When we talk about empathy, it is a sort of trying to make sure that you are feeling like the person is feeling. You put yourself in the shoes of the person. How do we do it? Look at it. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. The Bible says be sympathetic. So you cannot afford not to be. How do we do those things? Number one, slow down. Slow down. When people are talking to you in the church, listen. Don't cut them short. Don't interrupt. Okay, listen to them. And then number two, ask questions. You know, some of us, we talk too much than just asking the questions, especially when you're a pastor or when you are, you know, some of us pastors, teachers, and who else? And then who else? Which people talk? And then when you're a woman. Okay, not all women. No, some women. Okay, so look at it very carefully. Let's slow down. Okay, so slow down, ask questions, and then look at it. It says, a person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but someone with insight can draw them out. Listen carefully. Someone with insight. So we pray that God will give us insight, God will give us understanding, so that when we engage with one another, we will do the right things to draw people out from people and help them. We are here to help each other. I know that the way I'm speaking, you know, some of you are thinking, oh, maybe this is the work of the pastor. Oh, this is the work of the children's pastor. And that is why we have problems. Because we have grown up to think that this is what pastors do. Pastor is supposed to talk to us. Pastor is supposed to help us. You know, and that's why pastors are dying quick. No, because you see, I don't know where we got that understanding from. The giftings are seated in the chest. You have the gift. Some of you have the gift of healing, the gift of encouragement. There are some of you, your gift can encourage somebody easy more than even the pastor can do. And that is where you are needed, because that's why God has brought us together. Can I hear amen? Amen. So my role is to equip you to make sure that you are using your gift to help build the church. How can we serve together? Because we are better together. So how do we do it? Slow down. Ask questions. Okay? Ask questions. And then the next one is show emotions. Show emotions. And let that emotion be genuine. Let the emotion be genuine. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping. Weep with those who are mourning. Weep with them. Okay? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weeping. In other words, don't fake it. Be genuine. Okay? Be honest. If your brother or sister is going through a challenge or a difficulty, let him know that you are going through a difficulty. I understand, but I'm with you. You can lean on me. You can depend on me. I'm there for you. Are you getting the point? Okay, so the first thing of helping us serve together is build trust. The second thing is what? To empathize. The third thing is accommodation. Is to accommodate. Accommodation. And this is where it's very challenging. How do we learn to live, to accommodate one another? Okay, the simple illustration is this. In every home, I don't know about your home, but in every home, if you are living with somebody like my wife, who is very good, likes, you know, where to put all things right. You know, everything is well organized. Okay? But even in spite of all the areas in your house that is well organized, which rooms do you have in your homes that are well organized? Your rooms. Some of you are looking at your bedroom. I'm not talking about your bedroom because you didn't even dress your bed before coming to church. But that's okay. But which rooms in your houses, like if you have 3-bedroom house, 5-bedroom house, which rooms do you normally pay attention and make sure that this room is well organized? Okay, washroom. Uh-huh. Some of you are saying washroom. Okay, living room. Because why? Why? Because the guests will come. Okay, so apart from the living room, those of you have guest rooms. Your guest rooms, sometimes your guest rooms are more powerful than you, your bedroom. Why? Because you are receiving what? Guests. And you don't want the guests to feel that you are something. Draw a negative conclusion. Yeah, that's the reason why as a church, we have to make sure that we play our things very well. Even if there are some debt in our bedroom, it doesn't show in the guest room. But unfortunately, Most of us, we don't even see it. So the guest comes, and the guest says, oh, this church is not a good church. Oh, this church, they are always gossiping. Oh, this church, they are always... But there's no church that's a perfect church. If the church knows how to accommodate, in other words, how to put, where to put things, the right things at the right time, oh, that church will expand. And that is the living word. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm accommodating you. I'm accommodating you. Amen. All right, so look at it. It says, be faithful, loving, and easy to do what? To get along. Easy to get along. That's the most difficult thing. But it says, be easy to get along. So let's learn to get along. That's it. How do we do it? Number one, get along with each other's need. Each other's need. In the next few minutes, I'll finish up by filling in. Let's learn to get along with each other's need. You know, all of us do not have the same need, but we all have a need. But let's learn to get along with each other's need. Some people's need will be so obvious that sometimes you are not very careful, we'll be tempted to neglect them. But we don't. In accommodation, we have to learn to accommodate each other's need. I know sometimes we have, like in the children's department, we have some children who are a little bit autistic, who have a little bit of challenge. And sometimes, you know, people complain. Teachers complain. I said, look, we have to learn to accommodate each other. We are all not the same, but we have to learn to accommodate. We have to learn to let them know that this is why they are here. They are part of our family. And we are here for them. And so in church, we have single parents, single fathers, people who have gone through divorce. People are still going through divorce. People are battling those kind of... When they come to church, we don't have to let them feel isolated. And then prejudge them. And then condemn them. And then let them feel as if for them, they are worse sinners on this earth. Now, are you getting up? You know, so I think sometimes we don't really understand why we are here as a church. And that's what God is teaching us. He's saying, love. Live and rich. It's love. God so loves. God loves everybody. He doesn't segregate. Sometimes I feel that if people come here, you see the way I've dressed. Sometimes I'm sure that people who come, when they come to church, they will feel intimidated maybe because of their dress. Yeah. There are some people I know. Some of you struggle before you even come to church Sunday morning. You know what you struggle on? What to wear. If we can get the church to a place where people will not even blink to think about what to put on to come to church. You just wake up, because you come to church the way you are, nobody even complains. But if somebody comes to church and the person even having combed their hair, you see how many people will see that. It's just that. That's what they will see. The fact, I don't know why we are prone to see only the wrong things. And then we don't look inside the spirit and say, look, what is drawing this guy to church in that state? We don't look at that. We just condemn straight. Now, and somebody can just say it like that. Meanwhile, you never know what a person is going through. Church, are you sure you still love me? Okay, I'm taking a little bit of your time today. Look at it. Each other. So each other's needs. And then look at it. The next one is each other's personalities. Okay, each other's personalities. Me, my name is Isaac. It's in the Bible. I laugh. Even when things are serious, I still laugh. Sometimes my wife will say, please, here, don't laugh. Then I say, it's difficult. I need the Spirit of God, you know, to help me not to laugh. But so, sometimes I just laugh. Like, I laugh. That's why I'm praying that I will live long. I laugh. But there are some people too. They don't laugh. That's okay. You know, we have people with different personalities. And we have to learn to accommodate people with different personalities. And respect people for who they are. And love them. And care for them. Can I hear amen? Look at the scripture. It says, the intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. Let's go out and look for them. Search for them. Let's know that we are all not the same. What we are talking about is serving together. Are you getting the point? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay. So now the personality is there. But look at the next one. The next one is what I like. Let us accommodate each other's fault. Eh? Yeah, the personality is the second one. The first one, each other's need. The fourth one, accommodate each other's faults. The fourth one, right? Each other's fault. Did they print it out well? I think I got it. Yeah, each other's fault. Let me get it from my this thing for you. So each other's needs, number one. Number two, let's accommodate number two. I think we made a mistake there because of what I'm using. Each other's ideas is number two. Okay, that's why I said the intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. So let's accommodate each other's ideas. So when somebody is sharing his or her ideas with you, don't shut the person down. Keep quiet and listen. Even if the idea is not right and you are not even going to use it, you just listen. Can I hear amen? Amen. Okay, so that's how we accommodate each other. So the first one is that let's accommodate each other's need, each other's ideas. Number three, each other's personalities. And then number four, each other's personality. Number four, the Bible says, God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts. So God in his knowledge has given us different gifts. So let's respect that. And that is why we are studying the spiritual gift. And then number four, let's also, what will help us to accommodate each other is when we learn to accommodate each other's fault. Look at the scripture. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Let's all read this scripture. Ready, go. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of what? Of your love. Because of your love, make room. In other words, make room to accommodate each other's fault. So in your room, in your house, make room to accommodate each other's fault. Because it's people who will falter. They'll make mistakes. And in this context, I'm not saying be intentionally go and be sinning. That's not what I'm saying. Are you getting the point? Yeah, but people make mistakes. So let's learn to accommodate it. Accommodation. The last one. Then we'll be done. We'll come to the point. So the first thing that we need to do is not just the first thing is to trust, okay, and then to empathize, to accommodate, and the final thing to know that we are on a mission. We are on a mission. The Bible says, be on the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Philippians. Scripture declares in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Philippians 1, 27, live in a way that brings honor to God, that brings honor to the good news of Christ, standing strong with one purpose, working together as one for the faith of the good news. Okay, for the faith of the good news. Now, look at my face. Let me tell you a story. In the Bible, there is a story. In this story, a group of people gathered together and they said, we want to build something. And the purpose they had was to make a name for themselves. The Bible says, when God heard and saw it, God came down and said, look, let us go and do something about this. Because if we don't do something about this, even though what these people have set their mind and had to do is wrong, they will get it accomplished. They will get it accomplished. Because the people were united. The people had one language. The people were determined. And that story is the story of the Tower of Babel. So what do we learn from it? Pick it up. You know, three quick things I want you to get. Now, remember, first of all, from Babel. And this story is in Genesis 11, 1 to 9. So what we can learn from there is, first of all, getting to know that the people there were committed. So they were committed. The people there had a very strong purpose, a compelling purpose. And then the people had a clear communication. We want to build this tower to go up there. They were committed. So what I'm calling from all of us today is a commitment towards this clear purpose. That look, as Living Word, we are here to love, we are here to live, we are here to reach. And next week, we will have our ministry fair. These are some of the ministries that we have listed. We have the men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, praise team, senior choir, hospitality, ushers, young adults, special events ministry. Some of you have gifts, you can join and help us organize our special event. We have the WISE, Joy, Royal Rangers, Missionette, Prayer Warriors, the prayer team. We have Living Cell, the cell group. We have the assimilation. How do we get people to stay when they come to church? Missions, evangelism, food bank. We are starting this. The food bank, media, sound, parking attendance, administrative. We need people to help us. We have seniors in this church, but we don't really have a very strong, solid seniors ministry. We need to get it running. So the seniors ministry, protocol, property, transportation. Look at our drivers, the work they do. Greeters, we need greeters. Welfare, finance. Now, when we pick up even the welfare alone, under the welfare, we need to have ministries under the welfare, like people who take care of, say, marriages just for us. People also make sure that they are taking care of funerals for us. People are also making sure that they are taking care of any new immigrant, any new person that comes into the church. Not like somebody who becomes born again, but new immigrants who come. Now, there are so many. All these ministries are there. Now, please, I want to encourage you. Don't say that because you are not a chorister, you can't serve. Look at what you have. Look at what you can do. We will not leave you like that. Now, next week, God willing, we will take you through a very simple way of assessing to help you know the gifts you have. And then we will encourage you and place you in an area where you can serve. And listen to me very carefully. If you have a gift of serving as an usher, what we haven't been doing in the past is that we assume that everybody who is serving, let me use this example and then we'll close. Right now, the way it is that we know we have instrumentalists, and so we assume that instrumentalists will come to church, right? Like we know we have, like Sundays or Fridays, we know instrumentalists will come. But what we don't really have clearly done there is that we don't know who is showing up specifically. Are you getting the point? Okay, so that shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. Like for ushers, we should know which usher is serving, say, on this particular day. All right? And then if you are well organized and administrative things are working very well, we should know. It shouldn't happen that people just show up and say, oh, you are an usher, so do it. No, it shouldn't happen. Because this kind of behavior doesn't happen in any corporation. The only places where sometimes it happens is the church. But God is saying, let us get. And the reason is because, you know, we are not taking advantage of the giftings. Some of you, you work in companies, businesses where you handle some of these things like human relations. You can help us. You can give us 1 hour or 2 hours of your time in the office and then help us organize things. And that is the part of your role that you are playing. I pray that God will. I know God is speaking to you. I know there's a role you can play. God has not brought you here by chance. How many of you say, Pastor, I think I believe that? Lift up your right hand. Let's be on our feet. Lift up your voice and thank God. Let's thank God for today. Let's thank God for today. Thank God for your life. Thank God for today. Thank God for your life. Thank God for what we have heard. Thank Him and bless Him in the name of Jesus. Just thank Him for your life. Thank Him for what you have heard. Thank Him for His goodness, His faithfulness towards us. Bless Him. Honor and worship and exalt His name. Thank Him in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord God Almighty. We thank You, Lord. Amen. Open your eyes. Let's join our hands together as a family, because we serve better together. Let's join our hands together. And then let's pray for one another. Pray a prayer of blessing for one another. And pray a prayer of healing for one another. And pray a prayer of deliverance for one another. And pray a prayer of a touch from God's hand for one another. Because we are together. You don't know what your friend, your sister may be going through right now. But just pray and say, God, I don't know what my sister or my brother may be going through. But God, today, Lord, whatever he or she may be going through, release some strength to him. I release some encouragement to him. Lord, the grace to stand for you, I release it. Lord, I bless him or I bless her. Bless one another this morning. Speak seriously. Take it on a very serious note and speak into one another's life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you. Lord, we speak your blessings. Lord, we speak your touch upon each other's life. Lord, we pray your grace to rest upon each other. In the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for our lives as a body. We pray the Lord you will help us, Lord, see and understand and know what we can do. Lord, encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Help us, oh God, we pray. Keep us in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord God Almighty. Now, our last prayer. With our hands still held, when we pray and say, God, the grace to serve, release it upon us. The grace to make time, to use our gifts, to make a difference in the kingdom through living word. Oh Lord, grant us that grace. So we will not just be people who come to church only on Sundays, but from Monday to Friday, we will be serving, or to Saturday, we will be serving. We'll be doing something to help advance the kingdom of God. Lift up your voice and let's pray for the grace of God, the grace of God upon each other to help us advance, to help us grow, to help us serve in the name of Jesus. Sunday school, we need people to serve in Sunday school. We need people to serve with us at the Global University. We need people to serve in all these capacities. Let's pray that God will help us. God will raise more people. God will strengthen. God will provide us with more people in the name of Jesus. Thank him and bless him. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord God, the grace to serve. The grace to serve. The grace to serve. Release it upon us in the name of Jesus. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Mighty God.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.